Fanatic.
Please state your
Cyclone Fanatic. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast starts now.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Your weekly audio tour inside, outside, and all around the Iowa State University athletic programs. The Cyclone Fanatic podcast is powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. No other realtor comes close to offering the level of service and amenities provided by Mark Charter. Buying or selling a home in your future? Check out markcharter.com. And now, on with the show. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Adam Gray, and Mark Charter.
Welcome, everybody, to a special Friday podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. My name is Chris Williams. Never done a Friday podcast before. This is brand new. And you can tell by the dance party music that we've got something banging going on here. Adam Gray joins me. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Not bad. Yourself?
Doing pretty good. Beautiful day out.
Yeah, we'll take it. We will take it for a Friday in October. You heard the intro. Now, if I would have created an intro, it would have been like there would have been George Strait. We probably would have had some like little Jason Aldean, perhaps. We bring in Mark Charter, and man, we got a dance party. It's Friday after work. Charter's ready to do a little dance. What's up, my friend?
I would not pick country music at all. So maybe a little. I like Coldplay. I realize there's some people out there that will think less of me for that. I love Coldplay.
That's their problem.
It is.
I mean, I wouldn't listen to Coldplay. And I don't really know anything about it. I don't have a problem with Coldplay. We all got our own thing. Gray over here is a Justin Bieber fan.
Love Biebs. Big Biebs fan.
Oh, man.
No, it's not true at all.
New podcast. We're going to do this each and every Friday, brought to you by our good friend here, Mark Charter. Mark, welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast fraternity.
Thank you. It's fun to be here. Lifelong ambition has now been filled. So
you look like like a big weight's just been let off your shoulder to be here.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
My wife said I can't come home until I make something of myself. So I'm welcome back now.
Wow.
It's a beautiful thing.
Glad that you and your wife, this is a big deal. Now, over the years, Fanatics is what we call them. They've gotten to know me, obviously. They've gotten to know Adam Gray over here. We need to get to know you.
Sure.
Just a little bit. So you're an Ames High graduate.
Born and raised in Ames. Been around Iowa State athletics my whole life, frankly. Frankly and sadly, but we can talk about that more later. Graduated from Ames High in 1997. That would place me at about 35 years old. Currently live in Ankeny. Sell real estate full-time, serving the central Iowa area. And the older I get, the more passionate I become about Iowa State athletics, especially the upcoming basketball season. But I hopefully can contribute a nugget or two each week and just hang out with you guys and have some fun.
We just need to be entertaining. You don't need to contribute nuggets. We don't have many nuggets on this podcast.
All right, I'm going to come with an anecdote each week then, just to entertain you.
Okay, favorite NFL team?
Chicago Bears.
Oh,
yeah, Chicago Bears.
See, I'm a Vikings fan.
You know why? Did you happen to see the map the other day of the NFL fans broken down by county in the United States? Really, really cool map, and it was surprising that the vast majority of Iowa is Vikings fans. I thought there'd be a lot more Bears fans,
yeah.
But there's not. But the reason that I'm a Bears fan is because I grew up watching Cubs games because they were on during the daytime. So just by default, I became a Chicago Bears fan, but I'm not loving my team this year too much.
Now, Mark, I'm not a big Bears fan, mm-hmm. but I'm a huge, huge Jay Cutler fan. I love the fact he is a gunslinger. My favorite quarterback of all time is Brett Favre. So
it's actually really annoying, Gray's obsession with Jay Cutler.
I love Jay Cutler. But
Gray doesn't matter how many losses or turnovers. If a guy has a strong arm, that's Gray's guy.
I'm a big fan of his wife.
Oh,
more so than him.
Well, I mean, right now everyone's jumping on Jay. Are you a Jay supporter or are you not a Jay fan
now? You can't argue with the quarterbacks that are making the type of money that he's making seem to be much better. And I don't know. I mean, the guy's obviously talented. I don't think he's dumb. He went to Vanderbilt. So I don't know, but they have arguably the best receiving core in the game. They have a great running back, a great offensive line. So why aren't they better? Well, the three losses or the four losses they've had this year, that's where he's committing all the turnovers.
Yeah.
So I would put the losses on him. But hopefully Brandon Marshall yelling at him this last week, getting in his face, hopefully that will pay dividends and they'll come out and beat New England.
I got him down. That's my lock of the week.
Lock
of the week. Going into Foxborough, and they're going to come out with a victory.
It could be worse. You could wear purple.
Yeah, there's the other reason to be a Bears fan. Frankly, I look better in blue, as I'm wearing today, than I do in purple. Purple's just not a good color. It's hard to pull off.
That's one of the many trials and tribulations of being a Vikings fan. My wife has learned I like to just the gray Vikings gear. That's what I try and just go neutral. So you're a Bears fan. What's your favorite beer?
I am not a beer snob at all.
Okay.
I am absolutely fine with a Bud Light, a Miller Lite or a Coors Light,
which Bush Light?
A lot of people are laughing at me now because I don't have a choice. I had a really good one the other day. It was like a pumpkin flavored Oktoberfest type beer.
Daddy likes the pumpkin beer over here.
Oh, man. It was good.
Yeah.
It was so good. My buddy had one, and I raided his fridge, and it was outstanding. But, I don't like dark beer, but light beers are fine.
Okay. Gray, what's your favorite beer? Like, if you had to name your favorite beer.
My favorite beer.
Yeah, because I don't know if we've ever covered that. I mean, you just kind of – you enjoy the Busch Light like I do, but I
– Yeah. If I'm going to go to a tailgate, just give me Busch Light all day and I'll be fine. See, I was just in Ireland last year, and I drank the crap out of Guinness. I love Guinness. So, but when I came back here, it's a little different. It doesn't taste quite as smooth as it does there, so – I find myself not drinking Guinness quite as much, so I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite beer.
Ireland ruined it for you.
It did to a certain – yeah, to a little bit.
All right, so we're trying to get to know Mark Charter here. And, I've listened to your ads on KXNO. I listened to that intro, and now I kind of want to go and sell my house.
That's the point of those ads.
I don't need to move, but I feel like I need to move now.
Well, if you need to move, then I'm the guy to
call. You're my guy.
I'm not going to force you.
No. So you got this website, though, and you were telling us about it before we went. You basically, what's interesting about you is you can pick how much commission you get when you sell their house. Is this correct? Am I on the right track?
Correct. So first of all, it took extensive research to come up with a good domain name. And after many years of trying, I came up with markcharter.com. So that's the domain name in question here. But yes, when you list your house, I've just recently come up with three different options that you can pick from. So okay. I'm not going to tell you that I charge you 6 or 7% or whatever the standard rate is. You have three options, 5%, 6%, or 7%. Choice is yours. I don't care which one you pick. Each commission rate has different amenities that comes with it. Obviously, a 5%, fairly standard listing. 6 and 7, you start to get more stuff. All the way up to 7% if you're staying within central Iowa. I'll literally move you. We'll pack you up.
Like, you're going to come over and move my stuff.
I will not be coming over to your house to pack up your stuff. But a crew of professionals
will
come over, pack up, drive you to your new house, and unload you as well. So nobody else in the industry is doing that. No one else is even close, frankly.
Well, the whole point of you being here, a couple points. One, you're an entertaining guy. Two, you're a likable guy. Three, you're a cyclone. So it's a perfect addition to the podcast, and let's talk about a little Iowa State athletics. Are you boys all right with that?
I'm somewhat okay with that.
Okay.
Sounds great to me.
Boring Saturday coming up tomorrow. Iowa State doesn't play. Now, Iowa's off too. Not that you want to sit around and watch the Hawks, but the watching Iowa and Maryland was fun for me last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was actually down at the cake stand, another one of our clients watching that football game. This is I don't know if you guys looked ahead to Saturday, but there are maybe 4 or 5 games that I am even remotely interested in. I mean, you got Kansas State. Let's start there. Let's start Kansas State and Texas. I think it's an intriguing game from the standpoint of Kansas State now is trying to carry the banner for the Big 12 Conference along with TCU. I think Texas, though, guys, after Iowa State's little debacle at the end of that game on Saturday night, but Swoops made some throws, gentlemen, at the end of the game. Is this kid for real is the question I want to start off with. Is this Swoops kid? Because he throws for 344 against Oklahoma. He just absolutely lights Iowa State up all night long. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that Kansas State loses on Saturday, but Gray, they've got the talent. It wouldn't shock me if Texas plays with them.
You know, they do have the talent, and you can tell they play really hard for Charlie Strong. And more than anything, if you have teams, they don't have the depth that a Texas team typically has, obviously, with all the departures and the kickoffs that Charlie Strong has taken, but they play hard for him. Back to Swoops, or is it Swoops or Swoops? I've always messed that up.
Swoops. You remember Cheryl Swoops?
Yeah. The Swoops, okay. Yep. You know, I think he's legit. I don't think he's there yet.
But he's gaining.
He is gaining. Mm-hmm. And you could tell the confidence is growing every game. I think he's going to struggle going on the road. Look, this is only going to be Texas' second true road game of the year so far this year.
Yeah.
I think he goes into Kansas State. I think they struggle to score points like they did, you know, a couple weeks ago before Iowa State and Oklahoma. I still think I see Kansas State winning by 17, 20 points in that game.
17 or 20. Yeah, I do. What do you think, Mark?
K-State is really good in a non-flashy way.
Yeah.
So
it's classic Bill Snyder.
Just to let the listeners know a little bit more about me, on occasion, I like to place a little bit of money on a football game.
That's okay.
So I come from that perspective, and I sided with K-State last week when they played Oklahoma. They do an amazing job of covering as a road dog, and they did again last week. So if you want a tip, when K-State's on the road, they're probably going to cover the spread, and they did.
12 or 13-1 now.
It's unbelievable.
Against the spread as a road dog
since
coming back.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. So easy money there. But K-State, honestly, they don't do anything flashy. You know, the quarterback, Waters, gets the ball, and he kind of stands back there for 3 or 4 seconds, and then, boom, he hits a hole and takes off.
Yeah.
And when you're the defense playing them like they won in the Iowa State game, it's infuriating to watch that because he's just standing back there and you want to say, go tackle mm-hmm. him, and the guy just performs. But, yeah, I think K-State wins fairly easily in that game. That's the way that I see it
All right. I'm going to go opposite of you gentlemen here. I don't think Texas wins, but I think we're also forgetting about Texas's defense. And I know it's hard to grasp that they're good after watching Iowa State drop 45 on. It really is hard to believe in that defense, but I still do. I think Kansas State wins, but I'm going to take them by like a touchdown or something. I'm a believer in Texas's talent. I think that they've had talent the last few years, but they didn't have the right guy to bring it out in them. They took some lumps early, but you got to realize Texas's schedule up until now is top five in the country.
Very
difficult.
They
played really good teams, so I don't know. I just don't see them. I don't see them just curling up in the fetal position and getting blitzed by 30 on Saturday. I think this Texas team's better than that. I don't think they're a 10-2 type team. This way out, obviously, that's not going to be the record with the losses that they have. But I think that they're at least – that defense gives them a chance, though.
And they've come a long way since that BYU game.
Yeah, they really have.
They got smoked. I mean, even the Baylor game, they lost by 21. They were very competitive in that Baylor game. So
the only other game of intrigue at all, I think, is West Virginia – at Oklahoma State. It's, you know, West Virginia beats Baylor last week. I'm a little hesitant to completely jump on that bandwagon. Baylor's a completely different team against Waco. The gambling lines will tell you that too, Mark. I mean, that's as clear as day. Baylor's always scary to take Baylor against any sort of a number on the road. I feel like West Virginia is the same type of team, though. They're a different team away from Morgantown. And I also feel like the Big 12 is so even this year. A lot of those teams, I don't know. I think it's an Oklahoma State win on Saturday. I think that they beat West Virginia.
I'm always quick to forget, too, that Iowa State actually beat West Virginia last year at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a very similar West Virginia team. But I love West Virginia's quarterback. The guy just gets it done. He throws for 300-plus
really
every single game. I think literally every single game he's thrown for 300 or more yards this year. That game's in Stillwater?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. I think it's a tight game, but I also would agree. Oklahoma State wins that game by probably 7 to 10 points.
Gray?
Yeah, you know, I keep waiting for Dana Holgorsen just to lose control of that team, and he hasn't. And, in fact, they seem to be getting better, which is not – if you look at him the last couple of years, that team always seems to get worse as the season goes on. Like, he loses them. And I keep telling you every week, oh, this is the week they're going to lose that team. And I'm going to stick with it. This is the week where – they go in, Oklahoma State wins by 10, and I see the wheels starting to fall off for West Virginia.
And you're higher on Oklahoma State than most people are, too.
Well, Gundy's just got a proven record of just consistently having 8, 9, 10-win teams. You know,
yeah.
This team is young, but they're still talented. This is still the same Oklahoma State team that played with Florida State, had every opportunity to win that game. So I'll take Oklahoma State by 10.
Another game that intrigues me. I think Ole Miss has been a great story all year. I'm putting them on major upset alert going into Death Valley. I actually think for Ole Miss, and if you guys aren't up on your SEC, that's fine. But when I looked through the preview for this weekend, to me, that's a game that just screams the toughest game of the year for Ole Miss, and that includes Alabama. This is a test. LSU's gotten a lot better over the last 3 to 4 mm-hmm. weeks. That is a game that, you know, LSU, how often are they underdogs at home to anybody? To me, this is – I'm calling for the upset right there, 24th-ranked LSU over Ole Miss. I like that one.
The key to that one, too, night game at LSU this week.
Yeah. Yep.
They are hard to beat at home at night. Shockingly so, the difference between day and night for their home games. I don't view that as a shocking upset because I agree with you.
Yeah.
I also think that LSU will win. I don't know that they're better, but again, really tough place to play. Of the Mississippi schools, Mississippi State is clearly better, in my opinion, than Mississippi is. So I think Mississippi State's for real. Mississippi, not so much. But
pretender? You got a pretender?
For Mississippi,
yeah,
I think so.
All right.
I mean, well, I don't think he can be a pretender in the SEC, frankly, because it's such a tough conference. But I would agree with you. I think LSU wins.
Gray?
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple years ago in Les Miles, they had a huge win in Death Valley, and he said after the game, Death Valley is where dreams go to die. And I think Ole Miss's dream of, you know, being in the BCS championship is going to go die this week. You know, Ole Miss is impressive, and their defense is very good. I think for LSU to win this game, they're going to need a special teams or a defensive touchdown. And this is where Bo Wallace can be Bo Wallace. And I think he's going to throw a pick six, maybe even two. And Baylor gets a couple special teams, defensive touchdown, or Baylor, LSU, and they win that game.
You know the old Mad Hatter's sitting around licking his chops right now, don't you?
Ready to eat some grass.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely loving it. All right. Mark Charter is the new sponsor of our brand new Friday podcast. People have been demanding more podcasts at CycloneFanatic.com. We're going to give them to you. So, Mark, I live in Bondurant, booming community. It seems like every week they're taking out a cornfield and like 100 new people move in.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a little annoying to me. I bought that house thinking that there was a cornfield in the backyard.
Not anymore. The
cornfield lasted for about a year.
Yep.
So do I hold on to my house while it's hot, or should I sell it now?
Questions like that always come down to the price range that your house is in.
I own a $1 million home.
$1 million home. You're probably doing okay. I wouldn't worry about it too much then. But the truthful answer to that is, if you have a home that is in a similar price range to new construction, and new construction is coming to town, you probably should sell before that happens. Because if given the choice between a new home and an existing home where the toilets have been used, 9 out of 10 people will pick new. So if you're under new construction, so say new construction in your town starts at 225.
This would be me. I would be
okay.
Under.
If you're under, then there isn't as much of a rush because you don't have that natural competition.
Okay.
So you can just kind of pick the best time of the year to sell, which is typically springtime to do that. So it sounds like you can live there a little while longer before you have to move.
Okay. That's a good tip right there.
It's really good.
It's a good tip.
It's the only one I know, so don't ask for any more.
Well, I'm going to keep throwing you. And here's the deal, Fanatics. Charter had no idea I was going to ask him that. That was on the spot. And that was a prime answer.
I've been doing this for 9 years.
So
and
there's
I just today learned that. So you got lucky.
There's not
that I knew that tip.
There's not a question you're not going to be able to answer. Is what
I don't think so.
I'm going to try and stump you.
Okay.
I'm going to try and stump you here.
You can try. I used to go into living rooms and be really nervous. What if they asked me this? What if they asked me that? Those butterflies have long since flown away since I pretty much know the questions that are coming.
All right. So Kirk Collin wrote yesterday, the Encyclopedia himself, he wrote about his preview for the Iowa State basketball season. Shortly after, a Fox columnist picks Iowa State to go to the Final Four. I tell you what, boys, I feel in like I'm bracing for a kick to the nuts. It's the Iowa State gene in all of us. Expectations that are an all-time high. You know, the talent seems to be there. You know, and I look at the Big 12. I look, and objectively, I'm like, why can't Iowa State win this league? But I'm just bracing for a kick to the nads. Are you feeling the same way? And I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I think it's natural for all of us to think that.
It's the Iowa State in you.
Yes.
That's why.
Exactly.
If you were a name a champion, you know, a Yankees fan, or, yeah, for college basketball, Kansas, you'd be thinking, heck, yeah, we're going to the Final Four, and we'd probably win it. But we have grown up and come along with the Cyclones as similar to the Cubs, lovable losers, blah, blah, blah. But it's weird. You got one guy saying Final Four, and, again, it's just one person's opinion. And then you have the coaches saying fifth. In the Big 12.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, where is fifth coming from? I believe Final Four more than I believe fifth.
I would agree.
Oof.
You know, and as a lifelong Iowa State fan, I typically am waiting for that kick in the nuts. But with Fred Hoiberg, I firmly believe that we can go to the Final Four. Just because of him.
Is Hoiberg's program and basketball and football are so different? Okay, I want to preface that right now. And I think I've talked about this before. But just the whole culture and mindset when it comes to the end of a game, to me, it could not be more opposite of the basketball program compared to the football program. If the football program is in a one possession game in the last 5 minutes, more often than not, they are going to lose. How many games in the last 2 minutes last year that Iowa State, you know, within five, plus or minus, they win? You know, it's just. And I think that plays to what you're trying to say, Adam.
Yes.
There's some sort of a winner's mentality there.
There is. He breathes confidence to everyone. And, I mean, it's starting to come to the fans, too, to where the fans are expecting to win these games that 3, 4, 5 years ago, we didn't expect to go in and win at North Carolina or beat North Carolina without George Niang. Now people are just expecting to win those games. And I think we're due for some good luck, too, because as good as Hoiberg's been, we've had a lot of bad luck with, you know, you had Chris Babb going down with an injury 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and then Niang's foot last year, where I think you could make a case where Iowa State could have been in the Final Four either of those last 2 years if we just would have stayed healthy. So I think we've already been kicked in the nuts. I think now it's time for us to maybe kick back.
We 2 years ago gets forgotten about in the Final Four conversation. I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, everybody always brings up Niang, but you're right, with Babb. If they get past Ohio State, that bracket was wide open.
Wide open.
Two years ago.
I agree.
Just wide open. A couple things go their way, and they could have been in two of them.
And that team was playing great basketball, just like they were last year. They were peaking it at the perfect time, and I don't think anyone wanted to play them. So.
I just went to that NBA exhibition game.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was good. I just found myself staring at Aaron Kraft, who's on the Golden State roster.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
He's on the Golden State roster, and wow. I mentioned to my buddy who's a Hawk fan, but I said, I hate that guy. He's the type of guy you'd love to have on your team
because
he's scrappy, but just a punk.
Even Hawk fans hate Aaron Kraft.
Just something about it. He gets all rosy cheeked and he's just, I don't know. It's just not a big fan, but I think that going back to that Final Four prediction from that writer, I mean, what are your odds? Put odds on this. What are the odds that Iowa State actually goes to the Final Four this year?
Wow.
Like, are you're looking for like 1 in 5?
What are you willing to bet? You know.
What am I willing to bet?
You know, $1, $100, $1,000. Give me something I can wrap my mind around here. How confident are you? Or maybe you're not confident at all.
It's here's the problem with that though, is. You know, once that bracket comes out, mm-hmm. it's all about matchups. It's all about who's hot. It's really hard in October to say, I think this team's going to the Final Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to say, I think Kansas is going to the Final Four. Yeah. I think Kentucky's going to the Final Four. Because, again, it really all comes down to those matchups. I'm more confident in predicting what's going to happen in, like, the regular season. I think Iowa State's the second-best team in the league. I'm not going to put them above Kansas mm-hmm. because I don't think you can put anybody above Kansas until they're dethroned. Bill Self is still there. There's still a ton of talent. But, I mean, I'd put them above Texas. I absolutely put them above Texas at this point in time.
I'm shocked with your love affair for Lon Kruger that you'd have us above Oklahoma.
Yeah, I like Iowa State's talent more.
Do you?
Yeah. I would put them at 3. I would put them above Texas.
The big wild card for Iowa State at this point is how quickly can McKay gel with that team before Big 12 play starts? Because what do we have? There's 3 or 4 games I think he'll be playing before Big 12 starts.
It's Drake. They strategically scheduled that Barclays Center game with South Carolina so that Jameel McKay could get some time against a high major opponent. before the Big 12. That's why Iowa State's playing in that basketball game.
It was very smart.
Yeah, so he's got Drake as his opener. He's got the Barclays Center game, and I believe I'll pull this up just for fact purposes, but the New Year's Eve game,
yeah,
it's against some mid-major. I don't know who they're playing.
While you're looking that up, the thing that I loved about the Big 12 tournament last year, and obviously we've got some different players, as do all teams, but we went in there, and round one, I think we beat K-State, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. Round two was Kansas. Round three was Baylor to win it. And we took it to those teams. I mean, it was basically playing at Kansas. It was a road game. And seeing that team and what we're possible of doesn't make me fear any team in the Big 12. I think Iowa State could win the Big 12.
Oh,
they might not if they underperform. But it's not like, oh, Kansas is this unbeatable giant. They're not. We took it to them.
Think about all the games against Kansas over the last 3 years, though.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, Hoiberg, he coaches right up there with Bill Self.
Yeah.
He coaches his team up in every single one of those games. Kansas has had more talent, but Iowa State is always right there in the end. And usually that game comes down to literally the final second.
And last year, Hilton, we could not hit a shot, if you remember that game.
Yeah.
That was pathetic. So we never had a chance in that game because we couldn't make a basket.
2 years ago, it was the charge, the Ben McLemore bank shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that bank shot, and you were at the Kansas game. I was there down at Fog Allen.
Yes, an awful night.
I turned to my dad, and it was the very first game of the Big 12 season. So this doesn't even make sense what I said, but I said, we just lost the Big 12 right there. And it was the first game, but I think if we would have won that game at Kansas, I think it sets us up for a Big 12 run, and I think we finished fourth that year in the conference, but I think we could have gone on a nice run.
Do you remember, too, they weren't even playing very well going into that game?
No.
We were all thinking they were going to lose by, like, double digits heading into that basketball game. And that's the thing where Fred can – I don't know what it is about it, but he coaches those guys up against Kansas. They're always right there. Mm-hmm. They really, I think, gained as a program a lot of confidence in that Big 12 tournament run, though, last year. I mean, you saw guys really step up. That's the biggest thing I've noticed in this so far in the preseason, just talking to people, is just what Niang and a guy like Naz Long bring to the table, and it has nothing to do with X's and O's or three-point shooting. It's just from that emotional standpoint. I think it's really hard now – for a transfer, name a transfer, any transfer, name a freshman, I don't care, a newcomer, put it that way. That's a better way to put it. It's really hard for a newcomer to come into Iowa State's program at this point and impose their will and bring that negativity towards the program, because if they do, Niang, Long, all those guys are all over them in a heartbeat. Now, I think 2-3 years ago, I think if Royce White shows up and does that, it's a whole different ballgame, because I don't think Melvin Edgem was that type of a leader. I think Melvin Edgem was the type of leader where he'd get really ticked off, and then he would keep it inside, and then he'd blow up all of a sudden. And that's fine. That's just the way he is. But if George Niang sees a dude doing something wrong in practice, he's yelling at him, man.
Yeah.
So and that's what makes me feel pretty good about how this team is going to mesh together this year.
Plus George's body. Can't forget about that. You know, the all new body.
It can
only help, right?
He looks pretty dreamy.
He's lean. He's lean. So do you guys, if you had to pick today, just out of curiosity, in the next 5 years, because I can conceivably see Hoiberg being there 5 years from now, does Iowa State make a Final Four? I won't say a national championship, but do they make a Final Four in the next 5 years?
I would say yes.
I would say yes.
I would say yes, mainly because of what Adam was saying earlier. I mean, they've taken – for all the good fortune Fred Hoiberg has had, you know, and I will call it – I'll give Fred credit for his ability to mesh personalities to – you know, he has gotten a little bit lucky that all the transfers have turned out. I mean, I think there is an element of luck to that.
Yeah.
But in the same token, he's caught a lot of bad breaks, too, when it comes to Babb, when it comes to – and there's still, you know, a Sweet 16. There's still all those NCAA tournaments, a Big 12 championship. I just feel like if there's a year where everything just kind of goes the way it's supposed to, the talent's there. I don't know. I mean, recruiting like 2-3 years out is really fuzzy right now.
Yeah.
But the talent's there this year to go to a Final Four.
No, I agree. And I think Brent Bloom talked about this last year, too. Fred Hoiberg's style in offense is a style that no one wants to face come NCAA tournament time. And you even look at the game against Connecticut, where Iowa State really, for the most part, played terrible. Couldn't make anything. And with, what, 2 minutes to go in the game, Iowa State's still down by four. That's the thing that I always find remarkable about Hoiberg's teams.
Yeah.
No matter how bad they play, yeah, with 2-3 minutes left in the game, they still have a shot to win that game. And he just has the style that he runs is always going to keep him in games. And for that reason, I think they're going to be tough anytime they're in the NCAA tournament.
The UConn game, I thought we were out of it. Yeah, you're right. We came back. There was the game, I think, maybe before that when we came back. And then in the regular season, I believe it was Okie State. We were down by a ton and came back and won that game. So it's nice to know your team's never out of it.
Yeah.
Keeps you intrigued the entire time.
Are you guys are you planning on going down to that tournament in Kansas City?
I will be there. Yeah, I think it's, what, the 24th, yeah, 25th?
I think that's going to be a cool event.
I'm going to be there, yeah.
Gray, are you going down?
You know, I hadn't thought about it yet.
I'm kind of working on a column I'm writing for next week on, like, the top five non-conference games or whatever. And usually that's a really easy piece to write because there's just, you know, there's two or three options and then you sprinkle in a mid. But, the schedule's fun. Georgia State at home on November 17th, that's an ESPNU game. That's like total upset alert. I mean, without Matt Thomas and Abdul Nader
and
Jameel McKay, that's three of Iowa State's top seven or eight players not in that basketball game. And I don't think they'll lose because it's at Hilton Coliseum, but I think that's a really good basketball game. But then you look, I mean, Alabama, you got Arizona State or Maryland in that second one. In Kansas City, you got Arkansas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. At Iowa, who's ranked in the top 25. I don't know how, but they are. In South Carolina, it's a fun non-conference schedule that potentially can alleviate from some of the football pain everybody's going through.
Yeah, and you know, surprisingly, the football pain, it doesn't feel that bad because if you go to Texas, again, we expect to lose, but we're not losing huge.
That's so, a classic, like, Iowa State thing.
It is. But I'm kind of like, you know, we're getting close. It's pretty good. But speaking of the Iowa game real quick, you guys should help me out if I should make this bet or not. So a little brief history. I've got a friend here in town named Gabe Glenn. And I don't know if you guys know him, but anyway.
Shout out to Gabe.
Good guy. Gabe's a huge Hawk fan. And he offered this bet to me last year. He texted me and said he thought Iowa was going to beat Iowa State at Hilton, straight up. So no points.
Okay.
And the bet was the loser had to stand on the corner of First Street and Delaware here in Ankeny, right by the Village Inn, with a sandwich board that said, "I stupidly bet on whatever team," and then "Go Iowa State" or "Go Iowa" on the backside.
I remember seeing this. This was all over the news.
Yeah, so I won the bet.
Oh, I do remember that.
Gabe went out there. The news came out and filmed him.
You were behind that?
Yeah.
Atta boy.
Yeah.
Hand pound.
Yeah. So that was me. But this year he's going to want retaliation. So am I stupid to make the exact same bet? It's going to be at Carver this year. I have obviously no idea what the point spread will be at this point. But would I bet Iowa State straight up to win that game?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I would take solace in the fact that your buddy got put on the news and you won.
Yeah.
And I would tuck your tail. Hide all pride. Who cares? You won because he had to. I would get out while you're ahead. You watch Seinfeld?
I do. Yeah.
It's like Costanza showmanship.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm out. Get everybody to laugh at a joke and you're out.
And then leave.
Yep. That's what I would do.
So
if
your
I were
advice
you.
Is to go out on a high note.
Dude, college basketball is weird when you go on the road.
It is.
Iowa State's clearly a better team, but they were a better team 2 years ago, too. And they. Did they win that game? No, I'm thinking
Clyburn scored 0 points, I believe.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Deontay Garrett one where he was like 1 for 16 and they still won or something like that. I don't remember the specifics.
I personally think that, and Hawk fans would disagree, but they're probably not listening to this, so who cares?
You'd be surprised.
The home court advantage is so much less at Carver than it is at Hilton.
Yeah, no, this is true.
And do Hawkeye fans agree with that? Do you think they agree with that?
No, they're most of – well.
I would say the –
There's a lot of delusional Hawkeye fans that think that Carver Hawkeye Arena is like Allen Fieldhouse, though. I mean, there are.
So you're saying Hawk fans smoke the doobie, is what you're saying. Okay. All right. I understand.
I don't know. I think like if we had like your buddy Glenn.
Yep.
Is he a rational Hawk fan or is he like a delusional Hawk troll?
I think he's somewhat rational. Yeah. More rational than not rational.
Well, I think if you just look at the numbers, clearly Hilton is a much stronger home court advantage. I would like to see over the last, like, 5 years. to equal it out during the McCaffrey era and during the Hoiberg era. Now, obviously, Fred's had better players because he's a better recruiter. But, you know, but Hilton's record is much better than Carver Hawkeye Arena's.
And their arena's bigger, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it holds about 1,000 more.
That's what I thought.
It's just a weirder – I like Carver Hawkeye Arena. I mean, if you ever go and watch a game there, it's because it's like down in a bowl where Hilton, it seems like you're more of a like
you
coliseum.
You're coming from the center.
Yeah. It seems like if I'm a fan, I would rather – don't count the atmosphere. I'd rather watch a game in Carver Hawkeye because I feel like there's better seats.
Sight lines.
Yeah. You're closer to the action, even if you're in the top row at Carver Hawkeye Arena compared to the top row at Hilton Coliseum. But atmosphere, it's not even close.
Yeah.
But I will say a couple years ago, though, they got after it. And you know, think about how much crap George Niang is going to get in that game this year after the cup of coffee tweet.
Here's the thing with George.
He loves
it. He'll love it. Yeah, he will just eat it up. That'll fuel him.
Yeah, he's been thinking about that for 2 years now.
Yep.
George is definitely the life of the Iowa State party.
Oh,
like,
man.
When they're coming out on the court and he's doing the whole thing with his T-shirt and whatever he does, you know, on the big screen.
Did you go to the Hilton Madness? Did you make it?
No, I didn't. Well, I went bowling instead.
Actually, that's I can give you much love for that. I love bowling.
I had some family in town. I've got a 3-year-old boy, so that was the first time he'd ever gone bowling. So we put the bumper lanes out there, and he
did you
really
do the bumper
that.
Lanes? Too?
I did not. My brother beat me.
What'd you shoot?
I think I shot about a 145 or so.
That's solid.
My all-time high. I grew up bowling, so my all-time high was 227. But the only time I've ever gotten close to that number. But no, but the Hilton Madness thing, regardless of the success on the field, here's my shout out of the day. I don't care how good or bad the basketball and football teams are. The people that are running things up at Iowa State, and I'm sure you know them, are doing a brilliant job getting families excited about Iowa State. These free autograph days and this Hilton Madness they did
before,
and the fan fest and the movie nights at the stadium. Who's ever doing that is brilliant. I mean, they're getting people to like and love Iowa State athletics.
And that stems from the top. I mean, if you ever talk to Jamie Pollard about the tailgate tour, you know what they do, or they all jump in a bus and they drive to all these places all around the state of Iowa. I mean, the reason they started doing that was to get kids involved because – you know, they're trying to build the fan base for 20 years from now, more than guys like us, they already have.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for the kids who are in elementary school when Pollard first got here 10 years ago who are potentially going to be making a college decision pretty soon. And, you know, and it's not because of that, but Iowa State has more students now than the University of Iowa does. I mean, the growth, and you would be able to see this a lot more than Adam or I would. Probably, Mark, just because you grew up in Ames.
Yep.
But just the difference in just the whole aura around not only the athletic department, but I want to say the entire university, because I'm just thinking back to when I started going to school there in 2003, how far it's come. I mean, I can't even imagine. I had never been to Ames before the year 2003.
Yeah.
I mean, you grew up there.
Have you seen photos or video of old games that took place at the stadium?
Yes, I have.
I mean, Hilton's been the same since I grew up. I mean, the building has been the same. Obviously, there's been changes to the look on the inside. But
the scoreboard that didn't have the score?
Yeah. But the football stadium was garbage, total garbage. I remember I never played there, but the class ahead of me played an Ames High football game that I went to, and I was down on the field for that, and they had the really thin, crappy AstroTurf. You know, it was awful. The concession stands were awful. Everything about that stadium today, even if a visiting fan came and said, the stadium's okay, it's 1,000 times better than what it used to be. We've come so far from where we were that most people wouldn't believe it if they looked at an old picture of what the stadium looked like.
Yeah.
So money's pouring in from somewhere. That's for
sure. Well, and that's why Iowa State fans get so much credit for, you know, having a 3-9 team last year, and they're 2-5 right now, yet they still fill the stadium up. Well, I think part of the reason it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun to go to games. It's a fun atmosphere. I mean, Iowa State fans, I don't believe, expect an 11-1 record. But they want a product. They want to have a shot, and eventually want to be at the point where you maybe could compete for a Big 12 championship. Clearly a long ways to go. But until then, you got to just make it fun, and that's what they've done. I mean, that atmosphere is so different than the one when I went to school. I remember when they were playing for a Big 12 North Championship against Missouri in 2004.
Oh, man. There's like 35. Through the interception in the game.
Like 35,000 people there. Nobody went to the damn game.
That game was really cold, too. It was cold.
I remember I was in the front row at the student section, and I tried to go topless. Yeah, and that lasted for about 5 minutes.
That was you. I was at that game.
Yeah, it was not a strong choice.
You can't underestimate, though, in my opinion, the impact that the basketball program has on the football program. As long as basketball is good, I honestly feel that people will continue to tolerate mediocrity out of the football team as long as we feel we have a coach that cares about us.
Which we do.
And as long as we're playing okay. And I hate to say that, but – you know, I've been watching my whole life. We're never going to be a solid 9-win every year type of a team.
Never.
For many, many reasons. But I think Iowa State fans are accepting of that. And I don't know that that will ever change, but as long as the product, and by product I mean the look of the stadium and the tailgating atmosphere and the price of the hot dogs, as long as all that's okay, they'll still come. Mm-hmm. Because it's still entertainment at its core. And it's something to do with the family on a Saturday afternoon.
And now, to top that, I will say this, that I talked to a couple of former players in the last week. Ben Bruns has talked about this on the Cyclone Radio Network.
That dude's smart, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
I like listening to him talk about football. He's really good.
He is brilliant. He really is. Like, we have on the Cyclone Radio Network, there's so much talent from Bloom to him. Whitver is a brilliant football mind. He carries Cyclone Reaction, obviously. But Bruns was saying the other day just about the last two recruiting classes, and you can see this, though. I mean, when's the last time, gentlemen, that you had three true freshmen playing on offense at the same time? I don't ever remember that.
And not only playing, but making plays.
Yeah, like this Wesley kid?
Yeah.
This Wesley kid's legit.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, he's going to be a nice wide receiver lining up beside Alan Lazard for the next 3 years. And point is, the last two recruiting classes, people within the program really feel like are a major step up from anything that we've seen here over the last 5-6 years. So I think that if and clearly there are people questioning, you know, the direction of the program, but I think you can see, if you look at Iowa State's defense, for instance, and you look at the guys who are really turning some heads, and I would say that Kamari Cotton-Moya would be one guy who would stand out to me. Nigel Tribune is a guy who would stand out to me. I think some of the young defensive linemen, a guy like Robbie Garcia, who he's got two sacks this year. I thought it'd take 3 years for Robbie Garcia to have two sacks. Point is, I think that they're heading in the right direction. I agree with you, Mark. I don't think 9-3 consistently is ever a realistic goal for Iowa State football. But you're right about the Texas thing. And I think the program is far beyond moral victories at this point. I know that the fan base is far beyond that. But to be able to score 45 points on the road against a top five defense, that gives you hope for next week.
And that's what people want. They want exciting offenses. That's why Baylor's so popular. I love watching Baylor. I'm not a Baylor fan, but I love watching
Baylor.
and that's what's frustrating Iowa State fans is, while I say on one hand, we're never going to be 9-3 year after year, and that's probably true, you look at Baylor, who was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
You look at K-State, who was totally awful. Those teams did it. And then you get into, well, we're the northernmost city and recruiting and all of this stuff. But you're right. They scored a ton of points on Texas. However, they gave up a ton of points.
Yeah.
So my question is, and you know way more about Cyclone football than I do we have a new defensive coordinator next year?
He ain't getting fired.
Would he step down? That's another way to say it.
I think that Wally probably would have retired last year if, you know, that was a tumultuous offseason for the program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I, you know, with Curtis Bray dying,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of things that went on last year. And they, frankly, that would have been disastrous, I feel like, if Wally Burnham would have left. I don't think, I truly believe that the defense this year has overperformed what I thought.
Really?
I truly believe that. I feel like they've been better than I thought they were going to be.
I would agree until this last game. This last game was obviously a, it was their poorest performance of the year. I think you can.
And I agree.
Yeah.
But I also think that Texas's offense is really gelling.
I mean, Chris, we gave up 48 points to. They scored seven points.
Guys, this is Big 12 football.
Yeah, they scored 7 points against BYU.
This is Big 12 football. Like, scoring is contagious in this league. You don't see a lot of 45-7 games. You see a lot of 51-48. I mean, that's just how it goes when that pace starts moving.
I understand it's Big 12 football, but we're not talking about Baylor or Texas Tech or West Virginia here. We're talking about Texas, who's lost their entire offensive line. They have a quarterback who hadn't been able to make plays.
Well, he threw for 344 against Oklahoma.
Okay, and they scored 26 points.
But he threw for 344. I mean, they're moving the ball, obviously.
Don't hit each other, fellas.
Well, come on.
Did you see that stat?
Did you watch the Red River shootout? I mean, this was a situation where they're moving the ball and then a guy fumbles within the 20. I mean,
I understand. And their offense is obviously improving. I'm not saying I want Iowa State to shut them out.
Telling you.
But 48 points giving up to Texas. I mean, I don't care what you say. That's a bad defensive performance.
Your point about the Big 12, though, is absolutely true. I don't know who posted this, but I saw this the other day. Total number of 4,000-yard passing seasons by Big Ten quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
No seasons. Zero. Yeah. No one's ever done it.
Yeah.
21 of those in the Big 12.
That's unbelievable.
That's crazy. And I know people that are like, oh, it's not that much different. I have Big Ten friends that love the Big Ten. I'm like, eh, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a deal where the Big 12 just refuses to play defense either. I mean, that's what they would like to throw at you. And my biggest thing, I saw John Miller on Twitter make a comment last night about how it was Smart Football who tweeted that out. And and Miller makes a comment, hey, that's because they don't play defense or whatever. Well, then you just got to go and do what I did and look up the Big 12's record versus the Big 10 over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody will want to talk about that.
No. Let's hear it. What's that record?
It was off the top of my head. Since the year 2010, I want to say you know what? I probably have it on my history here on my iPad, but I want to say it was like 25-17 from the year. I mean, I think that the Big 12 was up like 6 or 7 games on the Big 10 over the last since the year 2000. Now, if you go before 2000, it was completely different ball game because that was the heyday of Big 10 football. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just simply not the case anymore. The longer this thing goes on, which we don't really need to get into this whole Big 10, Big 12 thing, but the point stands. There's going to be points scored in this league. I don't care how good your defense is. I mean, that 2012 Iowa State defense, I thought was really good. And there is still will Wally Burnham be here? I don't know, but I guarantee you won't get fired. It will not be a Courtney Messingham type deal where, he's shown the door the day after the season.
And I hope Rhodes stays. I'm a fan. I think he's a good fit for the program. And this is a conversation you could have for hours and hours, but how much longer can it continue the way it is and probably continue this way for a few more years without anything really happening? But again, if our expectation is, if he doesn't get to 8-4, 9-3, whatever the case is, well, that can't be the expectation.
No,
it's not going to happen.
He needs to consistently be 5-7 and peak to 6-7 wins and then just give people hope that, when Oklahoma comes to town, that you may actually be able to win the game.
And win the close ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Win the close ones.
Like last Saturday. Yeah. Last Saturday was a gut punch. I don't know about you guys, but last Saturday to me, that was a gut punch because you just, over the course of history, Iowa State football, you don't give any opportunities like that. And I know that Texas is not an elite team. This is not a top 10 team that we're talking about here, but you got to win the games not even that you're supposed to win. I mean, for crying out loud, they were 12-point underdogs. But I felt like Iowa State should have won that game.
Well, if you go back over the season, we stunk against North Dakota State.
Yep.
That was a loss. K-State, we were playing really, really well and ultimately lost by, a couple points, I believe.
Yep.
And then you've got Okie State playing great. Their first half got the bad call, ended up kind of losing our steam. Texas almost beat Texas, should have beaten Texas. And I'm missing one other game there that we lost because we have 5 losses. I don't know what the other one was off the top of my head.
Baylor?
Baylor. And Baylor's Baylor.
Yep.
So we're not on their level. Point being, 3 of those games I feel like we could have won legitimately.
Oh, absolutely.
So to get to 6 or 7 wins.
They're not that far.
Not that far off. And looking at the season before it started, I thought we'd win 2 games total, which is where we're at. So I think we'll be better than that. So I don't think we're light years away from being where we want to be.
Even last year, I mean, you take the Texas game, you put a win there based off of the call. You're at 4-8 there, and who knows what happens the next week at Texas Tech when you lose by a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Should have beat TCU last year.
Should have beat TCU last year. 2012 is the most aggravating, other than 2005, the most aggravating season in Iowa State history when you consider if you have a quarterback with a pulse against a top 5 Kansas State team, you win that football game. Should have beaten Texas Tech. They should have been 8-4 in 2012.
At least the days of going to places like Nebraska and getting pummeled 70-7 are done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is nice. That's safe a step in the right direction. Yeah.
Well,
those games are over by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
28-0, and yeah, brutal.
Gentlemen, we have run out of time. Mark, I want to buy a house. Where do I go?
You would go to markcharter.com.
Now, your website, though, you've got some goodies on there. Mm-hmm. Tell sure. us, like, if we go there right now, if I click on it, I'm going to put an ad, or I'm going to put a link on the page of this podcast. What are we going to find? Like, give me a little bit. We'll be able to talk about this every Friday.
Where I would direct people first, because I think it matters most, is you'll see a link on that site that says reviews.
Oh, yeah.
I believe there's 95-plus reviews on there, and that is what my clients have had to say about me. I don't think there's any better indicator of future results than past successes. So read what other people have had to say about me. If you think that I'm not lying and those are actual real reviews, then that should tell you what I'm all about. If you're looking to sell a house, click on 3 Ways to Sell. That's the section that will tell you what you get at 5%. 6% or 7%. Again, the choice is yours. And I'd love to talk to you if you need to buy or sell a home in Central Iowa.
Hey, Gray, you like doing this Friday podcast? I know that your fans have been calling for more Adam Gray.
Yeah, the fanatics have really missed me.
They've really spoken up to get more of you on the podcast.
Yeah,
all three of them, and they're all they happen to be from Johnston. They all seriously, there's like three dudes who tweet at me wanting more Gray, and they all have Johnston, Iowa. That's where he grew up.
You're full of crap. That's true. There's no
okay.
truth.
There's one guy though, for real, who always wants more Gray, and it says Johnston, Iowa.
He's probably a sharp guy.
do me a favor, by the way. If you get something requesting more Charter, let me know. And if you get stuff saying that he really sucks and he needs to leave, just don't let me know.
No, I won't. Don't worry. You're a customer now.
Shelter me from that.
Gray, give me a bold prediction for the weekend.
Bold prediction?
Yeah, because that's what you're known for. You're known for these really outrageous predictions in the world of sports.
I'm playing 36 holes of golf on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
My bold prediction is –
where are you
is
playing at, Grandview?
Hyperion.
Okay.
My prediction is that I will not shoot in the 70s in either of those two rounds. That's my bold prediction. As far as games go, I already made my one bold prediction that I think the Bears go into Foxborough and get a win.
That's pretty bold.
I really like that game.
There's no way that happens.
Wow.
No way.
No chance.
No chance.
I don't know. Guys, I watch the Vikings. I don't watch much of the NFL. Foxborough is where the Patriots play, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all I needed to hear. Okay.
Yeah, they're going
to
go. It's a must win for them, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they got to win that game. So that will be – that's my pick.
I'm going to Old Clarinda this weekend.
Are you?
Yeah.
Going to go to the Shidley D?
Yeah, I'm going
to
hit up the Shidley D on Saturday night, watch the Royals. They got like a 12-inch TV there. Be a good time.
I predict – my bold prediction, by the way, the World Series will go back to Kansas City. So they'll win at least one.
So who wins the World Series?
Giants, but I think it'll go back to game 6 or 7, so I still think the Giants will win.
That'd be painful. How would it suck if the Royals lost game 7 at home?
Yeah, that would suck, but Giants have experience. You gotta account for that.
Gray, who do you think will win the World Series?
Who do I think or who do I want?
Well, we all know you want the Royals because Cheezer, you know. We got to have it for Cheezer.
You know, I agree with Mark. I think the Giants, I like their starting pitching better. And at some point, I think that that's going to take – I mean, the Royals' middle relief into the late relief pitchers have carried them. But
it's unbelievable.
As good as I've ever seen.
Yeah. Statistically, it's like the best 7-9 bullpen of all time I saw.
If it's a tie game going into 6 or 7 inning, I mean, I don't know how you can't think the Royals are going to win because they've done it consistently throughout the playoffs. But – I think the Giants have a little bit better offense. They're starting pitching's better, so they're going to get out into some early leads, and unfortunately, it's going to be too much for the Royals to make up.
Game 3 is tonight. Now, I thought it was interesting on Wednesday night, and I'm a Braves / Royals fan. I follow both of those teams, but I play fantasy baseball. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just crazy seeing Tim Lincecum come out of the bullpen. What in the heck?
Didn't he win like a Cy Young like 3 years ago?
Yeah, wasn't he like the best pitcher in baseball like 2 years ago?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he throw a no-hitter this year?
Yeah, earlier in the year he did.
What's happened to him? I haven't followed it that closely.
I don't know. I don't follow it closely enough, but I thought it was awfully odd to see him try it out of the bullpen on Wednesday night.
Is he just another one of those guys that got that massive contract and said, I'm good. I don't need to be as good as I used to be?
No, is the way he throws.
Clearly the dude's good if he threw a no-hitter. I mean, that's pretty tough to do, but – obviously not as good as the other guys. The Giants have to quit throwing out that middle reliever, though, that they had last night that apparently only gives up home runs. That was his fifth one of the postseason.
And then he talked all that garbage afterwards.
And then he admitted he didn't even know what the guy was saying because he was speaking Spanish to him and he doesn't speak Spanish.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you ever heard Salvador Perez in an interview? The guy can't talk and he can't speak English.
Yeah.
That was a total joke, that Strickland guy.
I think he admitted that after the fact. That was pretty dumb that he took it there.
I mean, he was clearly just ticked off that he'd just given up his fifth home run in the playoffs, but whatever.
Yep.
All right, boys, it was a fun podcast. Mark, thank you. We're going to look forward to this. I look forward to this. This is fun. We'll be doing this every Friday. We'll do it like Friday after work. How's that for a name?
Friday after work, grab a beer and sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, we should have some beers here on one of these podcasts.
This looks like a beer.
Yeah, you got what do you got there? Like a Jack Nicklaus? Is that an Arnold Palmer?
Arnold Palmer. These things are awesome. Best value in the convenience store, hands down, 99 cents.
Now, Gray, you're an Arnold Palmer guy. You always get those when we go out to eat.
I love Arnold Palmers. Yeah. Every now and then, a little John Daly. Throw a little vodka in there.
Is that an actual drink?
Yeah, John Daly. He's Arnold Palmer with vodka. Because obviously John Daly
that
likes
makes
to party.
Complete sense.
Yeah.
Really we'll have some John Daly's next Friday. Gentlemen, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with another podcast. It'll be on Tommy Birch usually comes by on Monday evenings to record. So probably Monday night, Tuesday morning, next podcast. Be sure to listen to us on iTunes. Search Cyclone Fanatic. It's very easy. It'll download straight to your phone, or you can go to the new Cyclone Fanatic iPod. Excuse me. That would be an iPhone app, and it's very slick. You can just click on the little play button in the podcast section and stream it right to your car, whatever you want to do with it. Thanks for listening. Have a great bye weekend, everybody.